Father in heaven, I thank you. As always, Lord, when we hear a word from you, it brings light into our hearts and gives us understanding. Lord, speak to us this morning and let every one of us, let our ears be attentive to what the Spirit is saying to the church, even at this time. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Melchizedek priesthood. It's a new priesthood that's been established by God. We're going to get into that this morning. But first, I want to lay a foundation, you know, about what priesthood is all about, what it looked like in the Old Testament, you know, and, you know, what Christ came to do and what it ought to look like now. You know, so we're just going to cover the whole spectrum. And we'll see that whether or not we are named as priests, we are actually priests nonetheless. You know, so, you know, what is, you know, what is a priest? We're not going to use, you know, just a carnal definition, but we want to look at what they were ordained to do in the Old Testament initially, and then see how we can relate that to today. You know, so generally speaking, you know, a priest is one that brings sacrifice or offering or stands in the gap for the people or teaches the people law and statutes, or, you know, also can determine. Back in the day, they did that when a person was plagued with a disease, and the priest would be the one that would determine whether they were clean or unclean, and so on and so forth. We will draw some parallels, then we'll look at this new priesthood that the Lord has established. Well, let me start from Exodus, when the Lord brought out his people, you know. And we've known, I mean, we've heard it, I've said it multiple times on this platform. As we go back to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, the Lord said to them, to his people through Moses, he said, look, if you will indeed obey my voice, then, if you will obey, let me just read it straight out of Exodus 19 and 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. So Moses, he returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So at this time, Moses was standing kind of in the gap. God will send him to the people, and he heard the response of the people, and he went back to God. But actually, what God was saying to the people was this, you know, I don't want Moses to be the only one, you know, that will relate directly to me. I want all of you to be to me a kingdom of priests. I mean, they were going to be a kingdom, nonetheless, but they would be a, I mean, they were going to be a kingdom anyway, but he, God wanted them to be a kingdom of priests. All of them be priests. And they said, well, we're going to do it. Everything that the Lord had promised us, we will do. And so they were well intentioned, but it didn't actually pan out that way. In the next chapter, you know, when the Lord, you know, appeared and to Moses and gave commandments and all of that, we see that when the people saw the thunderings and everything, they couldn't handle it. So let's jump to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you sin not. And all the people stood afar off, you know, but Moses, he drew near unto the thick darkness, you know, where God was. Well, it was, it looked like thick darkness to them because they couldn't get into towards it, you know. So the people said, we can't do it. We cannot hear the voice of God. So basically, they rejected this offer of priesthood. Because God said, come unto me, hear my voice, obey my commandments, and you will be unto me, all of you, a kingdom of priests. So they rejected it. And from that point on, unfortunately, Moses became a prophet unto them, you know. So Moses had to go and hear from God and come and tell it to them, because that was their own choice. You know, God never intended for Moses to be a prophet. He wanted the people to come and have a relationship directly with him and be priests unto him. But they didn't do it, and they could not do it. And they said, we can't do it. You know, so that was the invitation that God gave out then, and we see how it panned out. Did not fall out well for the children of Israel, because they could not endure his voice. They could not endure his voice. It says, his voice of the Lord is too strong. You know, if he speaks to us, we will die. Ladies and gentlemen, my first thought, the first time that I actually really meditated on that scripture was like, wow. How in the world would anybody not want to hear the voice of God? We need to hear a word from God, always. We need to hear his voice. I mean, his voice, you know, is the very light within us. I mean, we need that. I mean, people ought to, you know, give anything to hear his voice. I mean, I would give anything for the presence of the Lord, but they said no, you know. We don't want any part of that. You know, so that's how they rejected it. Well, fast forward, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on how God eventually chose you know, the house of Levi and Aaron and, you know, his sons to be priests and so on and so forth. You know, because that will be too long a lesson. You know, however, suffice to say that the priesthood that God established back then eventually found, you know, just said, well, you guys will be Levites to your brethren. I mean, you would, you know, do the service and so on and so forth. We're going to look at some of the services that they rendered and compare it, you know, to a new priesthood which God established. And there's an invitation again for us to enter into a new priesthood. Well, it's already there. Some have already entered in. Some who should be in there are not really performing like they should, just like the children of Israel, you know, etc. Now, let's fast forward to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to begin to draw some comparisons from here. you know, in Hebrews chapter 5, and those of you who are here when we did the lessons on the book of Hebrews, we covered some of these at length. But I want to bring this out today. In Hebrews chapter 5, let's read from verse 1. For every high priest that is taken from among men. Now, this is a comparison of Christ with the high priests. Many comparisons in the book of Hebrews. Christ compared to angels. Christ compared to Moses. Christ compared to, you know, the high priest in those days. And so on and so forth. The new covenant in Christ compared with the old covenant. And so on. The book of Hebrews is full of all of that. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. Well, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Well, it wasn't just the high priest. The priests themselves, you know, would do some of those, you know, just, you know, there were several things, but particularly the high priest. They, you know, he said, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof, he ought to ask for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. You know, so, you know, as they were offering for sins of the people, they actually did offer for themselves, the high priest did. And the other priests too, I mean, they had all kinds of sacrifices that they were supposed to offer. I mean, anytime somebody, you know, wanted to do, you know, offer an offering for sin, an offering for this, an offering for that, you know, they would go to the priests. If a man was plagued with a disease such as leprosy or this and that, I mean, they'd had to go to the, you know, to the priest and offer the things for their cleansing. The priest had to determine whether they were clean, etc. They were also supposed to teach the law. Well, let's look at Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 11, here is a commandment. In fact, let me read it from verse 6. Because this is the Lord, you know, choosing the lineage of Aaron and his sons, you know, after Nadab and Abihu, you know, are chosen upon themselves to try to offer sacrifice and strange fire before the Lord, which the Lord commanded them. In fact, let me read it from Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu. Now, notice that, you know, this Nadab and Abihu, they were apparently, you know, children of Aaron. You know, so because he says here they were sons of Aaron. They took either of them his censer, put fire down, put incense, offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, it was strange fire because the Lord commanded them not. And I went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. They died before the Lord. You know, now, in the previous chapter, Moses gave some commandments for peace offerings, for this and for that, you know, and Aaron went unto the altar, slew the calf of the sin, offering which was for himself, and then he brought for his sons, and he did all these things. He put his blood, finger in the blood, did all these things that he did. And this was in the previous chapter. And he brought the people's offerings, you know, and he brought burnt offering, offered it unto the Lord. He did all these things. He slew bullock, ram, everything. And, you know, did another one they call wave offering, and there were all kinds of commandments back then, this offering, that offering, this and this, just what Moses commanded them, you know. And the Lord, whenever they brought a sacrifice and the Lord was pleased to it, you know, here is what would happen. Leviticus 9:23-24. Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. When the Lord, when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. You know, so some commandments there that the Lord had given to Aaron. He had been chosen and his people to be the ones to offer the sacrifices unto the Lord. But here is what Nadab and Abihu, it wasn't their turn, even though they were children of Aaron, but it wasn't their turn at that time. So they presumptuously did this thing before the Lord. The Lord was angry with them and slew them. And, you know, everybody was afraid. You know, so the Lord also spoke to Aaron, gave him commandments. Don't drink strong meat. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, put a difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean. I'm reading, just paraphrasing from Leviticus chapter 10, you know, verses 9 and 10. And he said, look, here's some instructions that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses, and so on. So this was one of the roles, was to teach the statutes, teach the law, you know, and even all the way they were doing it till the time of Ezra. Ezra was a priest, and so on. They were doing it. Many of them that came and did it, you know, they did it. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10, the scripture I loved as a young man. When I found that scripture, I decided many years ago that I would do the same thing. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says that Ezra had prepared his heart before the Lord to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So this Ezra was an example. You know, he was called Ezra the priest. He was also a scribe of the law, but he was a priest. And he knew and determined that he would seek the law of the Lord. He would do it, and then he would also teach it. So this was an example of a good priest. That one, you have to determine what was the law of the Lord. Seek it, understand it, and so forth. And then do it yourself, and then teach it to the people. So Ezra 7:10 was an example, a very good example. But there was a time, I'm going to skip through the Old Testament stuff quickly so I can get to this stuff that I really want to teach. There was a time for a long time, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse, you know, 3. There was a long time after those eras where there were people like Ezra and everybody that did, you know, the right thing and taught the people the right thing. There was a time for a long season that, you know, Israel was without the true God. They were just busy sacrificing upon the high places and doing all kinds of crazy stuff which the Lord told them not to do. And they are forsaking the Lord, and they were without a teaching priest and without the law. At 2 Chronicles 15 and 3. So we see that the role of the priest was critical. Besides all the offerings and various things, you know, it was their role to teach the people the law and the statutes and to show them the way of the true God, you know. And so for a long time, they didn't have that. They missed that, you know. And it was like, dark ages for them back then. A priest was also, if you read all of Leviticus chapter 13, which I will not read, but in that chapter, there were ordinances of what the priest had to do. Jesus even referred to this, you know, in the story of the 10 lepers. He said, go show yourself to the priest. This is what they used to do back then. You know, he had leprosy. The law of leprosy is in Leviticus chapter 13. If leprosy came upon a man, they used to have that quite a bit back in the day. And then they were not supposed to come into the camp because, look, that thing could spread. You know, so they were called unclean and they had to show themselves to the priest. And the priest would be the one that would determine whether they were fit or unfit to be in the congregation or not. You know, you know, and most of the time, if we were determined to be unclean, and God gave instructions of whether look at the skin, look at what's breaking out the skin and all of that. Leviticus 13 describes all that. I'm not going to get too much into that. But all the time, eventually, if they were determined to be unclean, they really were not allowed to be in the camp. They had to be outside the camp. And, you know, but sometimes the priest would look at it also and say, well, no, that's just a scalp. That's just this and that. It's not really leprosy. You're good. And certify them as clean. And God gave them instructions, you know, of how to determine all of that. You know, so there are many, you know, there are many cities like that. I mean, many stories like that in the Bible, you know, and, you know, there were in 2 Kings chapter 7, there was a story of the four lepers, you know, that were, you know, outside the city when the Syrians besieged, you know, the Jews and so forth, you know, they besieged the camp of the Jews. And these lepers said, look, we stay here, we're going to die. We can't go into the city anyway. There's famine over there. And if we fall to the camp of the Syrians, maybe they'll save us alive. Maybe not. You might know the story, you know. And so they were outside the camp, you know, most of the time they were committed outside the camp. The priest would show them, or they would show themselves to the priest. The priest would determine whether or not they were clean. Now, I'm going to focus on just those three things. There were many more things that the priest did. But let's just look at those three things. You know, offering sacrifice, you know, not only for themselves, but also for the people. Teaching the people the law and statutes. And also, you know, checking out those who were clean. I mean, who were diseased, had disease, to see whether they were clean or not. Now, the priest didn't have the power back then to heal anybody. Theirs was just to look at them, determined by some precepts that God had given them, whether they were clean or unclean. Now, let's fast forward and go back to the book of Hebrews. As the writer of Hebrews begins to bring a comparison here between Christ and not only the not only even the smaller priests, but even the high priest back in those days, and the things that the priesthood, which back in the day was ordained as the head of the priesthood, which would be like Aaron and his sons, and then all the other Levites and priests and so on and so forth. I mean, there was a whole tribe that was dedicated to doing that. But there was a high priest, one at a time, that would go in and do certain things, you know, to go into the most holy place. He was the only one that could go in there. And many such stories, you know, were there, but they were put together in the book of Hebrews for us, for our understanding. So let's go to the book of Hebrews. I already read, he started the comparison with Christ, started to talk about the high priests in the what they did in the old days in Hebrews chapter 5. And he said, well, you know, nobody took that honor unto themselves back in there. If you try to take it, God didn't appoint you like Nadab and Abihu, God will kill them. You know, but if it was their turn, then they had the ability to do it. So Christ also glorified not himself to be made an high priest, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. You know, but the Lord has said to him, this day have I begotten thee, you are my son, and thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, you know, the psalmist, I mean, he prophesied that, saying that the Christ would come in the order of Melchizedek. And we're going to go back and see what this Melchizedek was and why that Christ, you know, was likened to that. You go back and read Psalm 110, and we're going to read, you know, I've quoted verse 3 many times in this room, that people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauty of holiness, the womb of the morning, and so forth. I quoted it all the time. But let's look at the next verse. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's a prophecy that came through David. David was a prophet because he prophesied many things about, you know, the Messiah, and prophesied that he was going to come in the order of the Melchizedek. You know, Psalm 22, all about the Messiah and many things. You know, so in this verse that we are reading in the book of Hebrews, he's referring to this prophecy that is in Psalm 110, verse 4 here. You know, now, but who was this Melchizedek before we even come to the order of Melchizedek? You know, the thing that is being taught in Hebrew was that the priesthood was changed, right? And everything else was changed. It's vice versa. You change the covenant, you change the priesthood, you change the priesthood, you change the covenant. This is what, you know, Hebrews was talking, telling us about. We covered the new covenant a week and a half or so ago, you know, so, but the priest of this new covenant, this priest, you know, who bore this covenant in his own blood was Christ. We covered that before. Whom the scripture says you will come in the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Aaron, because that priesthood was found to be faulty. God found fault with the priesthood. He found fault with the covenant. He did away with them, brought a new covenant and a new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. What was this priesthood? Well, the first time we see Melchizedek, I mean, nobody really knew too much about who he was. He just suddenly appeared, you know, to Abraham. You know, we find that, you know, on in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham, I mean, well, actually, Abraham, when he went to deliver Lot, called his brother, but it was actually his nephew, you know, and he came back from, you know, going to deliver him after, you know, Lot had been captured. And we see that here, I pick up this story in Genesis 14 and 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of all the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's deal, you know. And that's where he went and delivered his nephew from. And Melchizedek, this is the first time we're going to hear of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And there's nothing too much said about this Melchizedek. He just appeared out of nowhere. And, you know, and he blessed Abraham and said to him, blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And then Abraham turned around and gave him thanks, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, there was an encounter between Abraham and this Melchizedek. We don't know too much about him here, but let's fast forward to Hebrews chapter 7 and see what the scripture has to say about this Melchizedek, which we see here briefly, but don't know too much about him. Or didn't know too much about him at the time, if that was all that we had. You know, but he says, for this Melchizedek, well, to give a context, let's read how the Lord would come in the order of Melchizedek. You know, so the last verse of the previous chapter says, there was a forerunner for us entered into the most holy place, not those other kinds of holy places, which the priests in the day, in the old days used to enter with the blood of goats and stuff. This man entered in by himself. You know, his name was Jesus, but he was made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, the last verse of Hebrews 6. And then he goes on to explain who was this Melchizedek that Christ was made a priest after that order. Why not after the order of Aaron or that Levitical priesthood. So Hebrews chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, now he's going to tell you now what who this Melchizedek is. First, being by interpretation, king of righteousness. Well, that's the meaning of Melchizedek. And also then we were told that he was the king of Salem back then. Salem means peace. So king of Salem, you know, which means peace. And Jerusalem, you know, like God's house of peace, you know, and so on. You know, this was the king of Salem, which was the king of peace. Now he's going to tell us who this Melchizedek was. Listen to this in Hebrews 7 and 3. He says, without father, without mother. Okay. Well, the only person that we know that was without father and without mother, or the only persons that we knew who were without father and mother, were Adam and Eve. And Eve was the mother of all living. And so Adam was the son of God, created by God. But everybody else from that point on had a father or a mother, you know, and even, you know, all down through the ages, except for Christ, who had an earthly mother only, but the Spirit of living God was his father. But everybody had a father or mother. But we're being told that this man, this mysterious man that met Abraham, had no father. Is without father, is without mother. He has no descent. Nobody can tell his genealogy. We don't know where he came from. I mean, he has no beginning of days. I mean, everybody had beginning of days. Even Adam had beginning of days, you know. But this man had no beginning of days. He has no end of life. But he's made kind of like the Son of God, and he abides a priest forever. Now, consider how great this man was. You know, this priest. Now, so let's consider if this man was without father, and if he was without mother, he has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but he's made like on the Son of God. You know, basically what he's describing here is the priesthood of Christ that was foreshadowed in this Melchizedek. You know, you might say that Christ suddenly appeared in Melchizedek. Remember, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that God doesn't start anything until first he finishes it. The priesthood was established way before it was established. Christ was slain before the war began, before he was actually slain, you know, and all and on and on and on. And Jesus talking to the Jews in Hebrews chapter 8, John chapter 8, he was talking to the Jews and he was saying certain things to them and they were questioning with him. Because when he said, look, if any man, you know, keep my word, he shall live forever and things like that. He said, look, who are you? You know, all, Abraham, all these people are dead. You know, they kept the word of God, but they are dead. And you are saying that if someone keeps your word, you will live forever. And, you know, then he told them, then he, you know, he dropped a bombshell to them in John chapter 8 and verse 56. He said, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And we saw the story between Melchizedek and Abraham. Melchizedek blessed him. Abraham was so happy, gave him tithes of all. Now, that's the first law, the first mention of tithing. That's the first place where you find it in the Bible. It was not given by commandment. Abraham did it by revelation. Nobody gave him commandment to give any tithe. So that's a law of first mention. You see that tithing was never a commandment in the days of Abraham. It came by revelation. He did it. Nobody had commanded him to do that, but he did it. You know, so today tithing is still by revelation. To those of us that understand it. But anyway, that's a different subject. But I throw that out there. So Abraham was so happy after Melchizedek blessed him and he gave him tithes of all. Well, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. And they said unto you, said unto him, John chapter 8, you know, and verse 57. You are not yet even 50 years old. How could you possibly have seen Abraham? And so he dropped his bombshell. You know, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, he didn't say I was, but I am. And at this point, the Jews have had enough. Enough! That's blasphemy, because you can't use that phrase, I am, unless you are God. You know, so they're going to kill him. You know, they pick up stones and they're going to kill him. Enough of this already. You know, but Jesus was telling them this encounter with Abraham, and they couldn't figure it out. Well, without father, without mother, this son of God was with God from the beginning. And God said to him, because he was the one that looked just like God and everything, Hebrews 1 and 3 was an express image of God. And God said, look, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. And they're going to be just like you. And so on. And when he met Abraham on that day, he was called Melchizedek. Mysterious figure. We don't know where he came from. Well, Hebrews tells us that he has no father, no mother, so he had to be God. There's no other person that didn't have father or mother. That's who Melchizedek was. The priesthood that God would establish in Christ cannot be after Levitical priesthood. It cannot be after Aaronic priesthood. It cannot be after the order of the law that Moses brought. It had to be something that predated that. You know, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know, and this man, no, neither beginning of days, no, end of life. That was the priest. And God showed it briefly for us to put it there in record, but nobody really understood it. And he was there and gone and disappeared. Nobody knew where he came from. Nobody knew where he went. And then now we see that God, that was the order that God chose for Christ to come after, you know, David prophesied it. This Melchizedek was a priest. This Melchizedek was a king. This Melchizedek was a prophet too. And sometimes we call it the triple crown ministry. Prophet, priest, and king. And we see that when Jesus came in this new priesthood, it was exactly like that. You know, he came, you know, first, you know, as a prophet. And, you know, he was declaring the kingdom of God. And that's how, you know that a prophet does, you know, bring the word of God and so forth. You know, and Moses said, look, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. You know, so, you know, that was Christ that Moses was talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. The Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet, capital P, like unto me, from your midst, and so forth. And you hearken unto him, and all of that. If you don't hearken unto him, well, you'll be cut off. So, that was Christ. Christ came as a prophet. Right now, Christ is over the household of God as a priest, a high priest making intercession for us. And we know he's coming as a King of Kings. It's got that triple crown ministry, prophet, priest, and king. Now, the part that Christ invited us to now, just like he did for the children of Israel, enter into a priesthood with us, there are two parts. Actually, we have the same prophet, priest, and king ministry right now. Prophet is we declare the word of God to this generation. Priest, we stand in the gap, you know, and so forth. But what kind of priests are we supposed to be? We also know that God has ordained us to be priests and kings, you know. So, but what kind of priests does God want us to do, to be now? In the olden days, there were priests that offered sacrifices for sin and all kinds of things, not only for the people, but for themselves also. But what kind of priesthood is God calling us into now? Well, you can read it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, Peter was quoting this same invitation that God gave the children of Israel, where he said, you'll be unto me a kingdom of priests. Well, by the Holy Spirit, Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Remember, the Lord said, you'll be unto me a peculiar people. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal refers to the line of the king. You know, that's God said, a kingdom of priests. The same thing as royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people. God said, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all other people, above all other nations. But what does this new priesthood do? Well, it says they should show forth the praises, that you should show forth the praises. Now, we're not going to be doing sacrifice for sin anymore. Jesus took care of that one time. You know, by the offering of himself, he took care of that one time. We're not going to be doing that anymore, but it's a different kind of priesthood, showing for what. We'll still be teaching the people, but we're showing forth his praises. You know, we were in time past, we were not a people, but we are now a people. We have now obtained mercy. You know, now let's take a look at the version of Christ versus the all the other priests. Let's see what, you know, how Hebrews again describes how he finished it and the role that he left for us to play is really the one that I want to get into today. You know, but Christ, you know, let's read Hebrews chapter 10. Let's compare the thing that Christ did versus all the other things that the high priest in those days used to do. Well, okay. I read it from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first that he may establish the second. All the argument there was, you know, the Old Testament being faulty and God bringing the new. You know, and by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, let's listen to this. Here's a comparison of in verses 11 and 12. Here's a comparison of the work of Christ versus the work of those high priests. This is why we know that this part is done. Now, every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. Now, high priests were never permitted to sit down. They couldn't. They had to be on their feet when they offered their sacrifice. It says it right here. Every high priest standeth daily. Can't do it. Can't sit down. They have to stand in their office. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down. He's no longer standing. Glory to God. You know, he sat down. The only time those priests could never sit down because their job was never done. But this man, when he did it once, he sat down because he's now finished. Glory to God. He's finished. He sat down at the right hand. On the right hand of God. Done. There's no more needing to stay. The only time you see him standing up now, God open your vision and you see it like Stephen. You know, Jesus was seated on the right hand of God. But when Stephen was being stoned to death, Jesus stood up. You know, he said, I see this Son of Man standing on the right hand. He wasn't standing before. He was sitting down, standing to give Stephen a standing ovation, welcoming him. That's the only time. You know, and he was right now, he's seated at the right hand of God. Ever make intercession for us. He's sitting. He's no longer standing. He has finished his role as a high priest for sin one time. Now, this new priesthood that he established is not about, you know, offering for sin anymore. He finished that. He's done. End of that. But now we are to institute, you know, a generation of priesthood that praise the Lord, offer the praises of God. The sin nature has been abolished, you know, and God has brought us into this new nature. And we shall be named the priests of the Lord. You know, the priests of the Lord. We are the ones that will be the repairer of the breaches. We are the ones that will be the priest of the Lord. But this new priesthood, rather than looking at lepers and determining whether they are clean or unclean, most of the time you determine that they were unclean and send them out of the camp. This new priesthood, Jesus said to them, you know, he said, look, when you go, don't just tell the lepers that they are unclean and send them away. Cleanse the lepers already. You know, heal the sick. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Then heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers even. I mean, Jesus called out the lepers because this was what one of the roles that the priests used to do. Leprosy was a big thing. I mean, a whole chapter of Leviticus 13 devoted to it. And that's why Jesus called it out here. You know, the sick, leprosy was not the only thing, but it was a big thing back then. Because it was something that was, you know, it just wouldn't have in the camp. But Jesus said, this time around, don't just tell them that they are unclean and leave them like that. Cleanse them. You make them clean. But the priests were to determine whether they were clean or unclean. But this time around, you clean them. Make them clean. Hallelujah. So this new priesthood that's established in the order of Melchizedek is a different one. You know, Jesus himself being the chief priest, all of us subordinate priests under him in this lineage. Here's what we do. One, we preach the kingdom of God. Two, we heal the sick. Three, we cleanse the lepers. Four, we raise the dead. Five, we cast out devils. And then he put his signature on it. This is God's signature. Freely you have received. Freely give. The things that God gives to us, they are free because they are paid for in Christ. That's it, folks. This new priesthood, you know, does not need to take an offering for sin. Jesus did that. They don't need to take an offering of their brethren like the Levites used to do. I mean, 10% of everything, it was theirs. You know, they don't need to take an offering. You know, they don't need to do any of these things. Jesus said, look, you receive freely, you give to them freely. This is a new order, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, many have entered into this priesthood are still living in the old order. They're still trying to do things the old way. You know, we're not healing the sick exactly. We're not cleansing the lepers exactly. We're not raising the dead even. I mean, we're not casting out devils. But more importantly, we're not giving to people freely. We charge the people. You know, there was an offering that was a lever. You have to, I mean, Levites, you have to bring, you know, five turtles, this of this kind of goat, that kind of bull. You have to do this. You have to bring doves. You have to bring all kinds of things. You know, all of that is done away with in Christ. And not only that, we who are entered into this new priesthood, we are back to the pattern that God intended. To show forth the praises of our God. So we should, you know, when we come before God today, it shouldn't always be about, oh, you know, forgive our sins and so forth. It's a good thing if any man sin, they should confess. But listen, we got to ascend beyond the sin nature. Always coming to the Father, repenting of our sins, going back out and doing the same things again. You know, and Jesus wasn't repenting of any sins. He was sinless. And that's why I challenge the prayer that, you know, Jesus taught his disciples that till this day, people erroneously call it the Lord's Prayer. I say it wasn't the Lord's prayer, because the Lord didn't have to pray for forgiveness of sins. You know, the Lord was teaching the disciples how to pray. It was the prayer that the disciples were taught by Christ, not Christ's prayer. You want to see Christ's prayer? Go to John chapter 17. See how he prayed. See all the times that he prayed. One time standing up, he said, "Father, I thank you because you heard me already. But for the sake of the people, I say it, that they may know that you have sent me." He wasn't praying that God should forgive his sins. He never prayed that, you know. So now the prayer that Jesus said, you know, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others," and we call the Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. So throw that concept away. It was not the Lord's Prayer. But that was the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples to pray. Tradition over the thousands of years have taught us that it was the Lord's Prayer. But that's wrong. You know, the Lord could never be praying for the forgiveness of sins. He was teaching his disciples how to pray. Now, but our focus is we need to get away from that. Move on to righteousness. You get away from, that's why the scripture says, look, when for the time that you ought to, you know, the teachers of the law, like priests, they're supposed to what to do, you have need that somebody begin to teach you all these principles and you are still dealing with sins and, you know, all these things. Move on to perfection. And this we will do if God permit. We're going to move on to perfection. This will start in the book of Hebrews. You know, we're not laying again the foundation of, you know, repentance from dead works. You know, every day we're repenting. God said, look, I'm tired of your repenting. You know, I mean, every day we're repenting from dead works. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't repent, but I'm saying we shouldn't be doing those dead works in the first place. Hallelujah. You know, so that's why in the epistles, when Paul would write, and Paul was a master builder. I mean, he knew how to write to these people by the grace of the Spirit of God that was upon him. Even Peter acknowledged it. He said, look, this man gifted in writing many things. You know, some of them are difficult. Some people twist it and so forth. You know, so Peter acknowledged that the power of God was upon Paul in writings. He said, many of his writings, my goodness, they are difficult to understand. But Paul, he laid it out. He called them saints. He called them believers. He said, look, you are now saints. Don't call yourself sinners anymore. This is what Paul taught. See, to the saints that are at Ephesus, to the saints that are at Philippi, to the saints that are at Colossae, to the saints that are in Thessalonica, you know, all them called to be saints. And he always tried to tell them, look, let's not dwell in sinfulness anymore. We are now into a new era. This new era, sin has been abolished. The new priesthood is not for sacrifices for sin. It is to offer praises to God. That's the new order. And the new order is also not to determine whether the people are clean or not clean. The new order is to actually clean them. Now, there is one thing, though, that this priesthood have in common with the old one. To teach the people righteousness. But at some point, even that will be done away with. Because the Lord said that, look, you know, at some point, I myself will write my laws in their hand, in their hearts, and no one will need to teach his brother again to say, know the Lord. So this new order is so, I mean, different than the old. And this is all about God himself for his own name's sake. He has done it. And now those of us who are called into this new priesthood, remember the many places in the Bible, but let me read to you just a few where we are told that we are going to be kings and priests. But the way that John wrote it in the book of Revelation was actually in the past tense. Here is one in Revelation 1 and verse 6. He said, and he hath made us kings and priests. That's past tense. Has already made us to be kings and to be priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. So John is saying that God has already made us to be priests and kings. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, that pretty much the same thing. You see, when the Lamb got up to take the book, open the seals and so forth, and declare forth mysteries out of that book. And he says again in Revelation 5, and he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, on the earth, folks, we're not going to reign in heaven. We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ, not with Christ, but inside Christ. We're seated in heavenly places, and we are supposed to cause the dominion of heaven upon the earth. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou bring their dominion upon the earth? Yes. You know, the kings in this new priesthood, they have this dual role, actually a triple role. They are prophets because they are declaring the word of God to their generation. And they are teaching the people, you know. And they are priests also, but a different kind of priest. They're not offering for sin. They are showing for the praises of God. And they are kings, because Jesus is called King of Kings. All his citizens are kings. He's the king, but they are all kings as well. Praise the Lord. Now, for we need to understand what our kingship is, what our priesthood is, you know, and, you know, what our message is as prophet. Remember, prophet, priest, and king. The message that we should be preaching as prophet is the kingdom of God. Christ is the king in that kingdom. And those who come into that kingdom will also be made kings. Now, if you are a king, that means you have dominion over something. And so the message of dominion is also coming back. As a priest, Christ was the priest over the household of God, but he has ordained us to be priests as well. We shall be named the priests of our God. Hallelujah. Now, because we are now his priests, we will not cause the word of God to have a famine or a famine of the word of God. God has brought us up now to close the gap. There are teaching priests now. We thank the Lord for that. Ezra was a good example. He prepared in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra 7 and 10. So this is what we are called unto. And lastly, but not least, the role of the priest in this new order is not, you know, to leave the people wounded like that, but actually to heal them. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 10 of a man that came to ask him a question. Well, tell us the great commandment and so on and so forth. And Jesus told him something. And he said, well, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the man willing to justify himself said, well, who then is my neighbor? So Jesus told him this story, which we call the Good Samaritan story. Well, let's examine that story again for a couple of interesting elements that we saw about the priests and the Levites of the olden days. This was how they behaved. They were stuck up. That's right. And they left the people wounded like that. In this story in Luke chapter 10, you know, there was a man, you know, that, there was a man that went to, you know, he said, you know, he went from, he went from Jerusalem to, let me just read it to you. He said, Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, what you read in the law? And he told him, you know, so, well, and Jesus said, well, good. You have answered right, these two, and you shall leave. You know, and then, you know, he willing to justify himself because he said, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, well, that's cool. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who then is my neighbor? So Jesus told him this story. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem is the house of God. Jericho is Sin City. So this man left the house of God to travel to Sin City, and he fell among thieves, you know, which stripped him, wounded him, left him for dead. Now, there came by chance a certain priest by that way. When he saw him, he passed by the other side. This is what those priests did. And another Levite. And when he came by, he also passed by the other side. Didn't do anything. They left him wounded like that, for to die. Because in their mind, stuck up and everything. And they're probably thinking, well, good for you. You should have stayed in the house of God, which is Jerusalem. What's your business going down to Jericho for? You know, but they were all hypocrites. You know, and whatever it was that they thought they were rushing to do, the soul of a wounded person, the life of a wounded person, was not important in their eyes. Probably rushing off to go and do some of their rituals. But they left the wounded man like that. Now, those were the priests and the Levites. That was their behavior in the days. But for us, for this new priest, we don't leave this new priesthood. We don't leave anybody wounded like that. Hallelujah. God will draw the scattered flocks to this new priesthood. And they will tend the flocks. They will take good heed to the flocks. They will not leave them wounded like that. You know, they will cleanse even. They will not just say, you are unclean or clean, and send them away unclean or leave them wounded like that. They will actually cleanse them. You know, God has given the power to us. He said, lay your hands on the sick and heal them. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so as we are coming into this new priesthood, we will talk more about the characteristics of this triple crown role that we have. Prophet, priest, and king. Well, before Jesus would establish himself as a king, he was king. He told Pilate, he said, look, for this purpose I was born. When Pilate asked him, are you a king then? But before he established himself as a king, first he stripped himself. He was already king before even the war began. But he stripped himself of all that, came as a prophet to declare the mind of God. Sure, turn us back to God. That's what a prophet does. Turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord. And he was always teaching the people, you know, the things of God and turning our hearts back to God and saying, you know, God is your Father. And then, you know, when he gave his all, you know, all, the ultimate, his life, he finished the work, said it's finished, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And now, as a high priest over the house of God, forever making intercession for us, whereby he's able to succor to the uttermost, then that come to God by him. And lastly, he's coming as a king of kings. We see that in Revelation chapter 19, and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to leave that lesson there today. We've shown a parallel and a comparison of the old versus the new. But there's much more about the new that we will talk about in future lessons if the Lord allows. But right now, I'm going to pray for us that the Lord grant us understanding. Remember, no man takes this honor unto himself. Nadab and Abihu, they tried to do it, didn't end well with them. But Christ, he stripped himself of that honor. He already had it. He stripped himself of it. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name. That this new thing that God has brought us into is not for us to wear phylacteries and draw attention to ourselves and, be called rabbi all over the place. All of that, Jesus said, is they're being hypocrites, you know, where they make the outside of the graves, paint them white and so forth, but inside, dead men's bones. That's not our portion. Our portion is clean from the inside, inside out. Jesus said, make the inside of the platter clean, then the outside itself also will be clean. And the Spirit of God is cleansing our hearts from all these dead works, bringing us into a place where we can make the real feast food shine for the Lord in praising Him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson in our hearts that's spoken to us today. I pray understanding will reach our minds, our hearts, and our souls. And instructions that you have given us to heal the sick rather than just leave them wounded like that. Teach us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we know you've already empowered us to do it. We just need to step out by faith. Thank you also, Lord, that you have made us ambassadors to reconcile the people back to God in the same priesthood, giving us his Spirit and the ministry of reconciliation for the people. Lord, teach us, O God, and show us more ways that we can teach the people how to be reconciled back to God. And Lord, we thank you because you have given us reign, also dominion over the works of your hands in this triple crown ministry. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.